And now, as we continue with our studies in the book of the Revelation, we come today to chapter 7. Before we read some of the solemn statements of this chapter, shall we bow for a moment of prayer? Our Father, we turn instinctively to Thee. It's Thy word we are about to handle. It's the inspired, eternal word we're just about to read. We pray that by Thy Holy Spirit, Thou shalt help us in the reading of the Scriptures and in the understanding of this truth, that these great truths may be applied to all our hearts, that Thy people may be edified and the Lord Jesus glorified through this ministry. Hear us in these things for His own name's sake. Amen. Now I trust if you are in the position at all where you can have your Bible handy, you can open your Bible at chapter 6 of the book of Revelation. We'll not read the whole chapter. We shall read a few verses. Revelation chapter 6. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. He that sat on him had a bow. The crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. When he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, Come and see. There went out another horse that was red. Power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. When he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, Come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. He that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, A measure of wheat for a penny, 3 measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, Come and see. And I looked, behold, a pale horse. His name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. Power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. We shall pause in our reading of that verse. We trust that God shall bless to all our hearts the reading of these important scriptures. Now, chapter 6 of Revelation marks an important milestone in the progressive unfolding of the end of the age. In chapter 5, the Lamb is invested with all authority to take the document of destiny and open the 7 seals, and thus introduce the day of vengeance of our God. It should be clearly understood that these judgments fall upon the earth after the church is caught away. It should be obvious the rapture takes place at the end of chapter 3. Now, might I say, I am quite aware of the fact that there are certain professed Bible teachers today who may disagree with that statement. But in this broadcast, I am not concerned with arguing with those who are of a different opinion. I am interested in stating the truth as I know it, so that my listeners shall be edified and instructed in these things. Today there are certain principles abroad or teachings abroad that cause one to be upset at times because they seem to be so contrary to the teaching of the Word of God. And so many of God's dear people are being upset because of those strange teachings. We are living in a day when people are intensely upset. What you may call there's a nervous tension abroad. There is also mental confusion amongst the people. No one can deny we are living in strange yet awful times. There seems to have been a fear that has taken hold upon the hearts of men, and rightly so, there's reason for it. Let me put it to you like this. Who is in control today? For example, some people will tell you that man is the decider of his own destiny. That is, that men are going to decide the destiny of civilization, which simply means that man has his own destiny in his own hand, and man will decide when he's going to blast this little planet to atoms and bring to an end human existence. That's what some people think, that man is the decider of the destiny of civilization. There are others who perhaps go beyond that, and they'll tell you that man is not in control, but a great enemy is control, that is Satan, sometimes called the devil, the great adversary of God and the adversary of mankind, that he is in control, and that the devil will decide the destiny of civilization, that he has caught man in the net of sin, and will ultimately throw him over the precipice to destruction, and take control of the universe. My friend, I go further than that. If you believe that man is in control of his own destiny, and that man will decide when civilization will come to an end, I disagree with you. It only has a little bit of truth in it, but not all the truth. If you believe that the devil is in control and will decide what the end shall be, I disagree with you. I believe what the Lord Jesus said in resurrection is absolutely true, when he said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth." I believe that all power and authority has been placed in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then says someone, if that is so, why isn't he in command today? Why doesn't he stop all the troubles and the worries in the world today? Why doesn't he introduce his reign of righteousness and his reign of peace? He's had plenty of time to do it. My friend, don't you put yourself on the side of those who scoff at the return of the Lord. Remember, the Bible tells us that there would come a day when scoffers would arise, saying, "Where is the sign of his coming?" Remember this, God is not in a hurry. God has plenty time to work. When the Lord Jesus Christ went back to the glory in resurrection power, the Father, addressing the Son, told him to sit at his own right hand until he would make his enemies his footstool. Now, he didn't say that to any angels, and he didn't say it to any man, but the Lord Jesus Christ is placed in the seat of authority, waiting for the day when his enemies shall be made his footstool. And that day will come when the Lord Jesus Christ shall demonstrate that he has all power and all authority. The workings and the movements of God are according to his own plans and purposes. There are many things in the movements of God that are difficult to understand, but suppose you cannot understand them, that doesn't mean you shouldn't accept them. Paul wrote, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Now when you come to the book of the Revelation, and chapter 6, we enter the strictly prophetic part of the book. Here we have a procedure preceding victory. A peculiarity of this chapter is that John writes as an intensely observant eyewitness. "I saw and I heard" are phrases we cannot afford to neglect as we study this portion of the book of Revelation. Remember, in chapters 4 and 5, everything is in heaven. You remember John was caught up and went up to the open door in heaven. I indicated then in chapter 4 that John is viewing things as he looks in through the open door. He sees certain things happening in heaven. Then he will be able to look down and he'll see things happening on earth. And so John records these things, perhaps as he saw them. It's quite possible that some of the things he saw happen in heaven, and looking down he sees things on earth. These things may be happening at the same time, but John has got to write them in sequence. So chapters 4 and 5, John is looking in the open door in heaven, and he sees a throne, and he sees one who is sitting on the throne, the great Creator. In chapter 5, he sees the book, and he sees the Lamb. And you remember the important thing in chapter 5, the Lamb who had been slain was no less than the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and he was competent to take the document of destiny. He was able to take that book, and he was going to open the seals and reveal what was written therein. Now then, in chapters 4 and 5 then, everything is in heaven. Now beginning with chapter 6, attention is directed to the earth with the announcement of its judgments. Christ as the Lamb by right of purchase and by power of redemption takes control. Sovereignty based on sacrifice is now about to be witnessed. As the entire judgment period stretches from chapter 6 through chapter 19, up to about verse 4 or so, it is necessary to note the connection between the seals, trumpets, and vials. Now, the judgments under the seals and trumpets are not contemporary but successive. The former cover a larger area than the trumpets, but these latter, on the other hand, are more severe and more searching in character. The Lamb is connected with the seals, that is, the Lamb takes the book and breaks the seal. Angels are connected with the blowing of the trumpets, but God is connected with the pouring out of the vials of his wrath. The seven seals, then, include the entire judgment period. For out of the seals the trumpets issue. Only when the seventh seal is broken are we introduced to the blowing of the seven trumpets. When the seventh trumpet is blown, we are introduced to the pouring out of the vials of God's wrath. The trumpets and the vials display in detail, in severity, what the seals denote in general. One might use the illustration of a telescope made up of three sections. The outer section or case contains the inner two. The section containing second is drawn out of the first, the third out of the second. With such a background for this sixth chapter in mind, let us look now at the first seal. Now here we have in this seal a horse and a rider. When I saw the Lamb open one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four living creatures saying, "Come, see," and I saw, and behold, a white horse. He that sat on him had a bow, the crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. In the loud summons introducing the seals, we encounter a matter of interest. John heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. He does not say it was thunder, but as it were. The phrase indicates the use of symbolic language. What he heard was a loud, thunderous voice calling his attention to the opening of the seals. And such a tone of terror was in keeping with the divine judgments about to overtake the rebellious ones of earth. Thunder portends a coming storm. Now then, I want you to notice this. John began to look and he saw something. He saw horses. But then he's bidden to look, and John saw. It was the horsemen who were commanded to come in obedience to the cry of the living one, of course. The command can be given as "come" or "go," and was the summons to the instruments employed to appear and act in the chastisement about to overtake many earthly dwellers. Remember, the rider on the white horse is not the Lord Jesus Christ. That's perfectly clear, because he is the one who's handling the book. However, when you see this man coming on the white horse, I suggest to you that here is the picture of a man appearing as a peacemaker. There's a noise of thunder, perfectly true, and it signaled the approach of a coming storm. The rider on the white horse of Revelation chapter 6 is certainly not Christ, but it's obvious that he is somewhat against Christ. That is, he is an imitation of the real thing. Throughout the centuries, the spirit of Antichrist has manifested itself in individuals with tremendous and terrible power. Now, the persistent conflict reaches a climax. Christ himself and Satan's masterpiece, the counterfeit Christ, the beast, are to meet. The first rider, then, is the manifestation of the accepted head of the 10 confederate nations. In the crown on his brow, we have his acknowledgement as the head of the revived empire. He is the warlord, crowned with authority of government. Now you'll notice that this man is a man of peace. That is the first thing you must note about this rider. For it simply says that he has a bow and a crown, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now when you come to the rider on the second horse, he has power to take peace from the earth. Now, if there is power to take peace from the earth, peace must first of all be established on the earth. You and I are living in a day when men talk great things about peace. In my day and generation, I've heard nothing else but peace and war. My earliest recollections were of World War I. At the end of World War I, People talked about peace. They said World War I was the war to end all wars. Then they would establish peace. We would have the utopia. One man spoke about every man being able to dwell under his own vine. Give to every man an acre and a cow, and everyone would dwell in peace. They were going to take their war weapons and beat them into plowshares. It didn't work. They built their peace palaces. They held their peace conferences. They gave away their peace medals. But they had no peace. Within a few years, there was other wars. There's been nothing else but wars throughout the 20th century. They have set up their League of Nations, which failed, miserably failed. They have set up their peace conferences. They have established what they call the United Nations. They have offered their peace prizes. Men have sought to sign their peace agreements. Men have been credited with establishing the basis for a permanent peace. This is a common talk at the present time. So therefore, I suggest to you that men may be well-meaning, and they want to do the right thing. The world today is looking for a man who can establish a basis for a permanent peace, especially in the Middle East. That is the key to world events. If we can establish peace in the Middle East, then men will be satisfied we can have peace throughout the world. But my friend, let me remind you of this, that here in Revelation chapter 6, the man has come on the scene. He's riding on the white horse, the emblem of a conqueror. He comes forth conquering and to conquer. He has the crown of victory on his head. And the world, in effect, is saying, here is our man. We've got it at last. Peace. Let me tell you right now, my friend, as you listen to me, we will never have a permanent peace on this earth as long as this world continues to reject the Lord Jesus Christ, who himself is the Prince of Peace. He made peace by the blood of his cross. And the first peace that one has got to experience is peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Men are endeavoring today to establish peace without God. They are trying to establish peace and at the same time reject the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. And here is the devil's counterfeit in verse 2 of Revelation chapter 6. And when the first seal is opened, it introduces a man in the place of authority, riding on his white horse with the bowl and also with the crown. And then he goes forth conquering and to conquer, and the world will acclaim him as the great peacemaker. Now, I want you to remember again that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here on earth and he went into the synagogue at Nazareth and he read from the scriptures, he read from what you and I call Isaiah chapter 61. And as he was reading down through that scripture, which was the portion to be read in the synagogue that day, he read until he came to these words, "And to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord," and he closed the book. Notice again where he closed it, at the acceptable year of the Lord. If he had read on, he would have read on the day of vengeance of our God. Here in Revelation chapter 6, the book is taken and the seal is broken, and the first thing he's going to introduce at the breaking of the first seal is the day of vengeance of our God. And the first thing we see is this, that mankind has established some kind of peace on the earth to suit himself, but It is not the real thing. It is a counterfeit with a counterfeit leader, a counterfeit ruler. And so therefore the fifth seal is broken and we're introduced to this man who is anti-Christ. And therefore he has set up a system which is against God and against Christ. In our next study, we shall continue and see what happened at the opening of the second seal.